Here this evening, we have a number of our brothers and sisters who are on the road, traveling in every direction now, going back to their places of worship tomorrow. So may we keep them in our prayers and hearts. One of the sad things about these meetings, when we see them start breaking up, people leaving, but that's the way it is. Also, Brother Sonny Huckabee has received word that his uncle has died today. So we will also remember that family in our prayers. His uncle's in Mena, Arkansas. But he will be, Brother Sonny will be with us here through tomorrow. And we will certainly bear that family up in our prayers. I'll say this in the way of introducing our service, after which we're going to ask Brother Jimmy Shook to lead our prayer while each of us pray. We've been here since Thursday evening, most of us, some of us, and I can truthfully say I have not heard anybody make one complaint. Now, the meeting's not over. We had a little trouble getting our battery adjusted and stuff like that, but I haven't heard one complaint. Isn't that something? Sometimes, I don't want to talk about problems, but sometimes we have good problems. We have a good problem. We have more good preachers than we can preach. That's a good problem. But you just have to understand and recognize you can't preach everybody. And the good preachers understand that. But anyway, we want to ask Brother Cleveland that. Brother Cleveland, Elder Cleveland Bass, Pastor Littlefield. Right, Littlefield. And maybe another one somewhere. Newsies, that's right. I was out in New Mexico, I'm sorry. I thought you might be going out there. Anyway, we're glad to have him. He's no stranger to this camp meeting and to most of you. Some of you, he is. You haven't met him. I hope he's not a stranger now. But we're also going to ask Brother Chris Fleming to come and introduce service for him, say what he has on his heart. Feel like that would be the leading of the Spirit. Others feel the same way. Brother Chris is one of us, but he, a lot of you haven't had the opportunity to hear him, and we just feel like that would be a meeting with the approval of the Lord for him to do that. And you pray for these brethren, and we'll get right underway with the service, and may the Lord bless them tonight. I'll ask Brother Jimmy Shook. Brother Jimmy is from the Church of Valley Spring, also a longtime friend of this church and most of us here, to lead us in our prayer.
The most gracious, loving, and merciful Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in on bended knees in the most humble way that we know. Lord, giving thanksgiving for the many blessings that you have sent our way. Lord, most recent of which we have in mind is your presence that we have felt here at this meeting. Lord, it's evident by these able ministers that you have allowed to raise your name in praise and honor and glory. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for each one of them. We would ask that you be with them wherever they go and continue to give them the grace and the liberty to proclaim our truth. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for each and every one that has come out to the house of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we know that there are a lot of things in this earth, in this world in which we live, that distract us and keep us away. But we're thankful that these have turned away from those things and have come here to the house of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this little oasis here in this land that is not our home, but where we can come and call upon the name of true and living God. Heavenly Father, as we rejoice in our presence here, we're mindful of those that are less fortunate, those that are sick and afflicted and unable to be with us. Lord, our prayer is that you will be with them, wherever they are and what condition they're in. Heavenly Father, we know they have their window open for us grace. Heavenly Father, it will be thy will that you would heal them or take away whatever is hindering them and allow them to come again. place of worship. Heavenly Father, you're thankful in these times of the dry weather that's afflicting our earth. Lord, we know where the rain comes from. We ask you, Lord, to bring that rain upon this earth to heal our land. Lord, we realize just as this parched corn that we see is a result of no rain, Lord, we realize that man is in the same condition if we don't get the spiritual rain. Lord, provide that for us as well. Heavenly Father, we're lifted up in the spirit as we near the end of this meeting because of your presence and the wonderful preaching and singing that's gone on before. The Lord, we know that without you, all that will stop. Lord, we ask you to continue to be with this meeting, to continue to be with these brothers that go forth tonight. Lord, guide and direct their minds and give them what they need so that they can be the sheep. Heavenly Father, we're mindful that some are on the way home, and all of us will shortly be on our way home. Lord, we would ask that you watch over us and give us traveling grace as we return to our homes. Lord, we pray, as we said, that you will continue to be in this meeting. And Lord, you will be with all the churches tomorrow, wherever they meet across the land. And that you would have your presence felt with them as well. Oh Lord, we realize that you are the potter, and we are the clay, and everything that we have comes from you, Lord. We ask that you just continue to be with us, to watch over us, guide and direct and keep us. Lord, to forgive us when we fail you. Lord, to be with us in the future. All these blessings we ask in and through the name of our precious Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Certainly not my intention this evening to take up much of Elder Cleveland Bass's time. I know that the evening of the day has run long and the sun has set and many of our bodies are weary. But I believe I do have something on my mind that I would like to bring forth unto you this morning if the Lord be in the matter. I am torn as to where to start exactly, but I believe I will turn to chapter 6. It has come to my observation many times during this meeting of the blessedness of the preaching, the singing, the prayers, the fellowship, the very presence of God in the midst of the church. And a thought just crosses my mind, what do you say? What can you say? The only thing that we can is to return back into the Lord and give thanks for the blessings that he has given us. What in particular I have in my mind, I believe, are some of the blessings that we receive, but more in particular, the way we look at these blessings. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, the Lord says this, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Now, that lay not up would certainly mean a physical accumulation of these things. But it means more than that. It means this is where you're setting your heart's desire upon. This is where your focus, your life's dream. And in particular, I also want to, in the essence of this scripture, I want to think about the blessings that we receive, not only of God's hand in spiritual form, but of the natural blessings that we receive. And we can even go over to the parable of that of the farmer who had received abundant blessings of God in abundant crops. And in his heart, he purposed to build a bigger storehouse to store up these the blessings of God for later purpose so that he would not have to labor for the corn later on. Now, the reason I mention that is because of what the Lord says later on. I want to read the 20th verse before we go on, but the Lord says something about, in particular, how we approach these things. Now, he says, "Lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal," reminding us, of course, of the temporal nature of everything that is upon the face of the earth. "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Now, I say that the first part includes the accumulation, the physical accumulation of these things. But obviously, the Lord is not talking about us entering into heaven and laying up a physical accumulation of treasures in heaven. This is talking about where our hearts desire, where our affections are, where our entire the source of our strength. And this is in particular, it says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And now I want to skip. Now the Lord certainly says beautiful things, very pertinent things, but I want to skip on down to 31, verse 31. Therefore, because of these things, because of the things that the Lord has brought forth in the verses in between, of the fact that the Lord provides upon the earth those things that we have need of. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things did the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Now, let's look at that phrase for a minute. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What I want to try to speak just a few words on is the sufficiency of the blessings. The Lord said early on that we are not to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And there's a reason why not to lay ourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And the Apostle Paul says this, and I believe it's Colossians chapter 3. Let's turn and read that for a moment, because the Apostle Paul is given the same words to speak, or the same message to speak unto the church in different words. Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Now, I'm having trouble finding exactly the right words to say, so I'll try to bring in an illustration on this, because this is what has brought my mind. When in all the blessings that we have received, in all the blessings that we have received upon God, this day, in the days gone by, and even truth of my heart, I might ask in my heart, what shall I say unto God? I can only return praise. But then my flesh turns right around and says, is this all? Is this it? Is this the blessing? Now, the example, or the story, the account of Elijah and the widow woman and her son was mentioned. I want to turn to that in 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, and I want to start with verse 8. This is Elijah in the wilderness. He has just been fed by the hand of God through the ravens. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and if that's how you pronounce it. And then when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called unto her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Now, the Lord had commanded Elijah to go and to this widow woman's place, and he told Elijah that there she would sustain him. So Elijah was moving on this promise of God. He was going in the faith of God that what God had promised would come to pass. Now, but let's look at the situation of the widow woman. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now, what I see in this is oftentimes the Lord blesses us with such abundant blessings beyond measure, that when we look at it, all we see is a handful of meal and a little bit of oil. And as far as we're concerned, All we can do is consume it and die because we don't see the sufficiency of the blessing of God. You see, when he told his disciples, described that model prayer, if you want to call it that, Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. You see, the grace of God, the sufficiency of the blessings of God is sufficient for the day in which you are in. And God will bless you according to His will and according to His mercy, according to His grace, with what we have need in the day thereof. But you see, we as carnal creatures start to see these blessings and we start looking to tomorrow. We start looking at the day after that and the day after that and say, surely this blessing that I have in my hand is not sufficient for tomorrow. So we go about and prepare what we think is the last meal that we're going to prepare and are ready to faint and die because all we're looking at, is the strength of our own hands to provide for the things which we are, which we find ourselves in need of, both physical and spiritual, which is our error. We cannot provide the spiritual blessings to begin with. So let alone the fact when we see ourselves blessed in a situation, when we start looking at it and think that's all there is, we've looked at it through only the carnal strength of man. But read what Elijah says. Now, I'll admit, the first time I ever read this, I thought Elijah was a very selfish man. Let's just read this. He says, and Elijah said to them, fear not, go do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Now, at first I was thinking, you know, well, that was pretty selfish according to Elijah's words, that he would want the very last remnant of what the widow and the son of and her son had to sustain himself first. But you see, he was going in faith on the promise of God that that he would be supplied of his need through that widow woman. And Elijah said to her, fear not, go do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after that make for thee and for thy son. Now you see, Elijah knew that she didn't have enough to make for all three of them. But he was convinced that God would supply the sufficient need. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the priest of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. So if we find ourselves in a situation, let's say a church is find ourselves in a state in which they find that the life of that church seems to be in a low state. Let's say we find ourselves struggling even on Sunday morning to get ourselves down to that church house because we think that the Lord's blessings have dried up and that we're ready to die. We are not standing in the sufficiency of the blessings of God. God has promised that He would supply according to our need, according to those things that we need according to the Spirit and according to the flesh, those things that we have stand in need of for the day. According to the carnal creature, according to the carnal man, what we start doing is thinking whether the days, the blessing that we have today is sufficient for tomorrow. Well, guess what? It's not going to be, because what God gives is for the day. There are many times in my life that in the loss of loved ones, in the death of the family, I've wondered why in short instances of time, I've wondered why at the point of the death of a loved one, why the Lord would not give me the very grace that the Lord would not give me dying grace is in essence what I was praying for. Was praying for the same blessing that the children of God is given at the time of death. And I, of course, I didn't receive that. And sometimes that would confuse me. But of course, the reason for that is that I didn't need dying grace at the time. I wasn't about to die. What we are in need of, the Lord will supply. When we find ourselves not being supplied of something, that pretty much tells me that the Lord doesn't think that we stand in need of at that time. There is something yet to be required. There are times that we go through trials and tribulations. Sometimes, as the nation of Israel went through for this time for a purpose of purging of the dross, that we may find out who our reliance is upon, who our strength is in. And it says, in the cruse of oil, neither shall the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. I see that as the abundant blessings. The Lord will sustain the church in the times of need until the time that the great rain falls upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and he and her house, and did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now it doesn't say this, and maybe I'm drawing on supposition, but I don't believe so because of the word of the scripture in other places. It doesn't say the meal just continued to overflow. It doesn't say that the oil continued to overflow. There's another miracle in which that thing happened in very similar form. But it said that they ate of that meal many days. You see, the Lord sometimes will supply the same thing over and that's not even exactly what I was trying to say. But the Lord, in the supplying of the need of that widow woman and of her son, it doesn't say that they saw within that barrel the fact that they would be able to eat many days. It said that they ate many days out of what was in the barrel. So we have that the Lord, through the gospel, through the word, and that mixed with the Spirit, that guided and controlled by the Spirit, is what sustains us many days. Though we may that we have been blessed tremendously by the hand of God in this meeting, we don't have the same. We don't have the same promise of God, because we do have a promise of God that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, and that where the Lord is, there will the people be blessed. But we don't know for as a certain fact that when we get up tomorrow morning, we will be blessed in the same fashion. But we know that we have been blessed today in the fashion of God, and that we are to rejoice in the blessing of God today, because that is why He has seen that we have the sufficient need, or that why His grace, which is sufficient for us, has given for our need today. I want to turn to... I'm torn between two scriptures. Well, we know the account of the Apostle Paul, that the Apostle Paul besought the Lord three times to remove a thorn from his flesh, that he felt that was the messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest he be exalted above measure. And that the Lord denied him that three times. And the answer of the Lord to that was, "My grace is sufficient for thee in weakness." Oh, I better go turn to read that, because I want to misquote that, and I don't want to misquote that, because I believe in the power and the beauty that's in that one scripture. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee." Now, I've been using the example of many natural terms, but do you realize the grace of God is sufficient for us in every need that we have? In every need that we have, from that dying grace to I suppose the Lord gives us grace in birth as well. The Lord gives us grace each and every day of our lives. The Lord gives us grace in every natural blessing, in every spiritual blessing. But most of them, above all, the Lord's grace is sufficient in Jesus Christ upon that work that He worked upon the cross. That grace is sufficient for us. He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." That in the weakness of our flesh, in the weakness, in the recognition, and this is where, in laying up our treasures which is in heaven, and setting our affections on things which are above, those things which are eternal, as we heard read unto us in Corinthians, the second Corinthians letter, in chapter 4, that those things which are eternal, those things are the things that stay steadfast, because they are the things of God. The things that we see upon this earth are temporal. They dissolve away. They are the strength. If our strength, if our confidence is upon the things of this earth, they will fail us in days to come. And there's one more chapter I want to turn to, and that's in Habakkuk chapter 3. And there's a psalm that we sing that one of the verses is taken from from these verses of Scripture. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flocks shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls." Now you may say, this is a pretty dire situation. And according to the strength of man, it is. According to the strength of the flesh, it is. If that's where our confidence is in the strength of the herds, the strength of the numbers of the church. And by that I mean that, and I have to say this because it's on my mind, is that oftentimes, in particular what is burning my heart this morning, or this afternoon, or evening, excuse me, is that, and I want to say this without disparaging any of the blessings that we have received, because we have received blessings of God's hands which we do not deserve, and it's only because of His grace that we were able to see small pictures of Jesus Christ today. But let us not get into the trap of thinking that because He blessed us today and that we are worthy of being blessed, that we would be blessed tomorrow. Because we are not worthy to be blessed. It is always because of His grace. But His grace is always sufficient for the need of the church, and for the need of each and every member of the church. Although these things happen, although we may see ourselves in dire situations where we see no strength to come, we see the fig tree does not bloom, we see no cattle in the field, we see the lack of rain in this natural earth, though we see these things come to pass, we can say because of the fact that we have a treasure laid up in heaven, because there is strength in Jesus Christ, because God is our strength, because we have somewhere a God in heaven who grants us our sufficient need. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make me to feet like hinds feet. He will make me to walk upon my high places. This is where we have been today. This is where the Spirit of the Lord has called us up, is that by the strength of the Lord, not because of confidence in the flesh, not because of our reliance upon numbers, not because of our reliance upon our own righteousness, for we have none, but because of the grace of God, we have been made to ride the high places of the earth. We have been made to see Jesus Christ. We have been made to see those things of the earth, of heaven and immortal glory, that our bodies being conformed to His image, those things that we know which are eternal. And where we have our heart, where we have our treasure, there will our heart be also. And if our treasure, if our confidence, if our focus, if our desire, if our affection is upon the things of God, upon those eternal precepts of His predestination, His election, His calling, His justification, His glorification, upon those things which are true according to the Word of God, and according to that testimony of the Spirit of God Himself to our spirit, that same Spirit by which we cry, Abba, Father. If those are our affections, then whenever those things that would come, the tribulations, the dire situations, the plagues upon the earth, the leanness of the land, when those things come, they are nothing to us, because our confidence, our strength is of God. And I hope that something I've said has been edifying to you and glorifying to God. And I ask that you would continue to earnestly pray for Elder Cleveland Baptist.